only.
You think you know me?
Welcome back to another episode of DDT, episode 2 of season 2. I'm Tyler Hall.
And I'm Dalton Floyd. Welcome back to DDT.
Wrestling podcast. Yeah, we just played a fun song in our intro, and it is... I don't know if you've been living under a rock, if you're a wrestling fan or not, but it's pretty newsworthy in the wrestling scene. The Rated R Superstar is back.
He's actually back, and back. It's not like part-time. It's not a one-off Rumble appearance. This guy signed a 3-year deal. He signed a 3-year full-time deal, and it's absolutely insane. I mean, it's been 9 years since he first retired and gave that retirement speech. Wasn't his last match against Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania? I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was a title match.
Yeah, title match.
Del Rio win it, or did he vacate title?
I think he vacated the title.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, and I remember some of the pictures of him in the ring. But yeah, 9 long years. It's very comparable to Daniel Bryan's situation, but Daniel's was like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So a much shorter time. And, you know, with that being said, Edge is a lot older now, but I'm also really, really excited for the feuds that he could possibly get into and the one specifically that they've already set up for WrestleMania. But we'll get right into that. Well, not right into it. We'll get into it later in the show. We've got some other stuff to knock out first. Before we do that, in the other parts of the wrestling world, we have TNA, or they're currently Impact, but they're doing a TNA There's No Place Like Home special event.
No Place
Like
Home.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's going to be on April 3rd. Isn't that like, is it WrestleMania weekend?
Dude, that is WrestleMania weekend, because I think the 4th is Mania. I'm pretty sure. It's
that would make sense. Like, literally everybody does big events on Mania weekend.
Because I'm pretty sure the way it is... what's the Japan one?
It's Best of
the is it Classic, or it's a
I'm not sure.
Then the New Japan does something, I'm pretty sure.
The G1 maybe?
G1.
Yeah.
So it's G1. There's this Impact now, mm-hmm. And then of course there's Takeover, and then there's
Ring
Mania.
Of Honor is even doing something.
And now there's Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor is doing Best of something. And speaking of one of the people in this list going to the TNA thing, he'll be at the Ring of Honor show too. So he's pulling like double duty for that weekend. Probably
a lot of them are.
Yeah, probably a Friday and Saturday thing. But here's the list of people that have been announced so far, and I've got my opinions on some of them. But so far we've got, in order, I'm pretty sure, we have D'Lo Brown and Ken Anderson from Aces and Eights. That's what they sort of dubbed.
Where'd you
them
see
as.
That?
You haven't seen this one?
No, is it like a post like I've been sending you?
Yeah, yeah, it's just like those posts.
They posted it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Ah, dude, I haven't seen any of that. Okay.
Those were like the first two people announced.
I must have skipped that day.
And they branded it as like the Aces and Eights are coming back. Were you a fan of the Aces and Eights when that whole thing was happening?
100%.
Like, really?
Yes, it was Hogan. We're going to go on TNA tangents. This sucks. We have enough content tonight.
Yeah. Hogan was never in it.
Hogan wasn't in it, but Hogan was involved in the storyline. Mm-hmm. So that is, it was Hogan era, which is like, I mean, of course, you think of Aces and Eights. I thought it was a good storyline.
I was 100%
Brooke Tessmacher,
down for
love it.
Bully
Ray. I mean, and during the Aces and Eights series, whatever storyline, mm-hmm. Chris Sabin won his first world title.
That's true.
That was awesome. Beat Bully Ray. Mm-hmm. Option C. And then, I don't know. I thought Aces and Eights was cool. The whole styles thing. Like, really, you could go on a list why they were, the positives in there.
The only reason I wasn't completely sold on it was because of D'Lo Brown.
Okay. I was just going to, more bigger picture, the amount, like, the people they brought back, mm-hmm. Like D'Lo.
Just guys that were D'Lo, backstage.
It was D'Lo, long hair dude. His dad's a wrestler.
Oh, Wes Briscoe.
Briscoe, yeah.
Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff.
Garrett was in there, yes. Like the weird.
Yeah.
Which you could tell with the hair. Like, I'm pretty sure this hair kind of poked out when you're Briscoe's,
when
he was wearing the mask.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. And then I think, like, Mike Knox was in it.
He was. Mike Knox. I'm pretty sure Snitsky was in there. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm trying to think, because I know Knox. I think Snitsky came back with Big Zeke, Ezekiel Jackson. In a storyline a little later than that.
Huh,
it's when, like, Bully Ray was faced. It was the whole Dixie Carter, like, the fall of Dixie Carter series storyline.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well,
weird
anyways,
stuff.
We'll get off that TNA tangent.
Just
sort
off
of
the list.
We'll still fall back into it. We've got Chris Harris from... He was
Wildcat.
More, yeah, Wildcat Chris Harris. More popular in his tag team with James Storm, America's Most Wanted. Had some great feuds with the likes of AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels and some other tag teams in TNA.
Had a really bad return, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Was it when he was Matt Hardy's partner?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, keep going.
Chris Sabin, we just talked about him for a little
Heck
bit.
Yeah. Just Sabin.
Yeah, just Sabin and not Alex Shelley, unfortunately. It's possible, but I've referenced in past, or I guess
they
just,
signed
just
Shelley
the
to
last
a contract?
Show. I don't think they did.
So...
Yeah,
this
so
this might be a TV clause. I don't know how legal
I don't know.
Works.
I really don't know how it works.
This is a one-time.
Petey Williams is coming back.
He's not coming back. He's staying.
Well,
he's been there.
Is he actually still there?
Dude, he's been there for the past like couple months. He had a match probably last week.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll be at this little There's No Place Like Home event.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner, who has recently debuted on NWA, is going to be at the event. Yeah, I'm not really a fan.
I feel like that was a one-time debut. I don't know. I feel
you
like it
so?
Was just I mean, his match was stupid. He lost. He got they sucked. They lost to Ricky Morton.
Did they really?
It was a 6-man tag with like I don't even know. It was no, I told you it was I don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's really
it was
not
bad
looking
match.
The best these days, honestly. Yeah.
But
and then
their caption for the Steiner one was funny.
Yeah, that was
they
funny.
Put all this
everybody does the Steiner math and it's really funny.
Yeah, that's fun.
Sammy did it outside of the War Rumble the other day. And then the very last announcement that you sent to me earlier today was like one of the most underrated superstars in wrestling history.
We've talked about him before.
We have a lot, and he was in those old TNA days, the NWA TNA
the pioneer.
Days.
He was a pioneer.
Really good pioneer of the X Division. Amazing Red.
Literally, yeah.
And he was with TNA, sort of an on and off thing up until like what, 2010, 2011.
He had a weird retirement. I remember that.
I don't remember that.
It was off screen. It was like social media.
Okay.
I mean, they introduced Crimson with him and stuff.
Yeah, that's the
that
last. That's the last thing I remember with him.
He had a match with Angle.
Did he really?
He had a match with Angle during Angle's tour. You know, his goodbye tour to TNA.
Okay.
He was like one of the first couple.
Yeah. Okay. But that makes sense.
Yeah. Good for Amazing.
And then
Red.
I hear that. I don't know who it is, but I think it's Alex Shelley that keeps talking him out of the retirement and just bringing him back for these one-off shows. So shout out to Alex Shelley,
makes
I guess.
Sense, yeah.
I'll try to find some stream of that or something if it's like
100%.
Even if it's like an after the fact like thing.
I mean, I'm a YouTuber regardless. So,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. So that's it for the TNA talk, as far as I can tell. That event should be pretty fun. You'll have a lot of callbacks. I'm sure D'Lo Brown and Ken Anderson are gonna come back.
All right.
What?
Mike Tenay, Don West. Dude, if it's not, I'm going to riot.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to bring him back.
I will.
Yeah. Because I don't want, like, Josh Matthews and Don West, you know? I don't want, like, Josh Matthews and Mike
Tenay.
Pope
still there?
I think Pope is still the... Well, he's in NWA now.
Yeah.
He showed up
on
NWA.
I don't know at this point.
Yeah. That'd be cool if Pope came back. But it's, like, this theme for the show... Even though Aces and Eights was a little later, this theme for the show, like, the logo is in the old NWA TNA style, so they're trying to bring back a lot of older guys, and so far, 1, 2, 3, like, 4 guys are from the original X Division, so I don't know, I guess we'll see who else gets announced.
I'm excited.
In these coming days. Yeah, I'm excited, too. I'm just seeing these people announced is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was some good days back when I watched wrestling consistently on TV.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, so that's it for the TNA talk. And before we get into the big bulk of the content, the WWE talk, I want to talk about the last week's AEW show that was on the Jericho Cruise, as well as what we have for this show, which honestly doesn't really seem like a lot. So last week on the Jericho Cruise, if you don't know, Chris Jericho has been putting on this cruise for about, I think this is the second year.
Yeah, it's number 2.
Yeah, number 2. And clearly this time they have a lot more talent to work with, because last year they were just sort of like freelance signing these guys so they
could. Which is still cool, but yeah, now it's AEW, so.
Yeah, now it's AEW. They filmed a Dynamite on a cruise, which is awesome. It was pre-taped, but.
Set looked cool.
Yeah, set looked awesome. I agreed with someone on either Twitter or Reddit when they said that it's a lot cooler to see like a crowded ship rather than
an empty arena.
An arena with some empty seats in it here and there. It's really cool. And so right off the bat, they had Kenny Omega and Hangman versus SCU for the tag titles. And we have new tag champs, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, look, I'll talk about it and we'll get more into the WWE section. But I mean, every time I make a prediction on the show, it doesn't come true. I picked SCU to win, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you probably did.
And yeah. Yeah. And I didn't get it. I mean, I take the ball and run with it. Good for Kenny for winning a title, but I think
the reason they're doing this is because they're trying to do this Hangman storyline where like he's drinking a lot.
I know,
like,
yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, like
know.
The Elite aren't paying attention to him. They had an interview later on in the night where they were like celebrating with the titles, and Tony Schiavone would keep interrupting him. Oh yeah, you're looking showing the Ace of the Nates graphic.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone would keep interrupting him, and then the Young Bucks came and interrupted him, and Hangman just sort of left the set. So it's like the Elite doesn't really like see him as one of those bigger members.
Yeah,
I'm ready to see how it plays out. They're definitely trying to drag it out as long as they can, and I'm down for that. I'm ready to see it happen. One of the worst parts of the night was Priscilla Kelly versus Britt Baker. Britt Baker won the match with her lockjaw submission finisher, which is pretty much a Rings of Saturn or Pox submission, except she like puts it's like a mandible claw at the same time. So afterwards, Tony Schiavone interviews her in the ring and she turns heel, which I'd never seen her as a heel before. Like, I didn't think she ever acted like it. She turns heel and starts just randomly insulting Tony Schiavone in the most awkward way possible, though. Like, it was just unbearable to watch, and it was tough. JR just sent it straight to commercial after she started like rambling on. So that was really weird. And then right after that, we had the Jurassic Express versus the Inner Circle, Santana, Ortiz, and Jericho. And the highlight of this entire match, in my opinion, was the Judas sing-along when Jericho was coming out.
Yeah, the entrance. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, it's Jericho's cruise. Of course, they're going to be there. Fans were awesome during the whole event.
And, you know, obviously, it's not only his crews, but the majority of the crowd there are, like, middle-aged guys that are, like, complete hardcore wrestling fans.
And not even just wrestling, but rock fans, too. There's a lot of concerts on this boat, too.
There were. A ton of concerts. They weren't all Fozzy, either.
No, there was, like, actual bands they got to stay for that. That was cool.
Yeah. So the Judas sing-along is really, really cool. Yeah. And they eventually won with Jericho giving the Judas effect to Marco's stunt. But honestly, hit him with anything and it might be over.
True, true, true.
So it was an entertaining match nonetheless. I can't remember too many other high spots, though. I don't have notes for that. And then another part of the show that stole the night was the MJF and Cody segment.
Yep.
MJF had a match against Joey Janela. He won with... I can't remember if he won with his submission or something else. Regardless, MJF won the match, and then he started cutting a promo on Cody, and out comes Cody, but there's a no contact clause for their match at Revolution. Yeah. So Cody basically, and I knew this was going to happen, and I could predict it. It was pretty predictable. Cody was like, I can't touch you, but they can. So as MJF is walking up the ramp, he backs into the Young Bucks, double super kick, and they throw him into the pool. So it was a fun spot.
Yeah. He did announce, I don't know if it was during the show, I don't remember really, but I know it was on Twitter. He did announce when the lashes, the 10, 15, whatever lashes it is.
Is it not tonight?
It's in February.
Oh, that's weird. When's Revolution?
The 5th. It's February the 5th, I think. It's the 5th or 12th.
Okay.
I don't know when that is. Okay. But 5th or 12th, he said he's going to do it in the second hour of the show, so the little nightmares don't see it. I don't know.
That's funny.
Whatever.
And he also has to do the cage match with that Wardlow guy.
Yeah. So AEW.
That'll be interesting. I want to see how they have the cage set up because
it's for their first cage.
It's their first cage match, and obviously, not every single wrestling promotion is going to look like WWE. You know, TNA had their take on it with, like, when they had the six sides, it was the six sides of steel. And the cage itself did look different. It was a lot more,
it was a black cage, too.
Black cage, and it just wasn't as big as a WWE cage. Because they also had a small arena to work with. But yeah, it'll be a cool match.
Think he'll do a moonsault off the cage?
He probably will, and he'll miss it. Yeah. He'll miss it 100%.
Great.
And then they finished off the night with Jon Moxley defeating Pac for a number one contender match.
Good or match,
number one contendership for the AEW World title against Chris Jericho. Yeah, it was a solid match. I think Moxley eventually won with a Dirty Deeds followed up by the Paradigm Shift where he lifts him up.
Yep.
So, yeah, last week I was like, I didn't really want either of the guys to lose because it hurts them because they're both undefeated. But
we'll see where Pac goes from this.
Yeah,
I thought that prediction I got right. I knew Moxley was gonna win.
Yeah, Moxley is.
It's written in the.
It's like it's easy. It was easy to predict it because Moxley is tunnel visioned on Jericho and Pac is tunnel visioned on Kenny.
Yep.
So it was pretty easy to see how that one was gonna go.
Yeah.
And then quickly for this week's show. It's not really a lot happening, honestly. We have Cody versus Kip Sabian.
Cool match.
It's definitely a cool match.
Cody
and
wins.
And they both Cody wins for sure, unless like MJF interferes or Penelope Ford, for that matter. Cody has his own storyline, and Kip Sabian's also starting his own storyline with Joey Janela because of the whole Twitter thing, because he's dating Penelope Ford and Joey Janela used to. I like how they're it's I love when they bring real life stuff into storylines.
You already know. I just don't like their kids being involved, but then we'll get into that. Not this one. I don't like real life so much. I like
that.
Savage comments every now and then, like singers, but like that's it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's really similar to like Matt and Edge though, even though it's not to that extreme.
Team Extreme. That's funny.
And then the next match that they have announced so far, they only have two matches announced. We have the Young Bucks versus the Butcher and the Blade. And that's the Blade is Braxton Sutter. I think that's what his actual name is.
From TNA?
Yeah, from TNA.
Okay.
One of the later years.
Yep.
And then the Butcher, I don't know what he was before AEW. But honestly, this is a tag team where they just kind of showed up out of nowhere with no warning. And I have no reason to be into them so far. So I feel like they've done that with a couple of tag teams.
Yeah.
They're recovering right now with the Dark Order, though.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with the Dark Order
now.
Because they're making it sort of like a cult thing. Like, it was in the beginning, but now it's like with vignettes and stuff.
You could unmask new wrestlers, and that's how you could bring in people into the company left and right. So
yeah, and they're starting with the jobbers, and there's a lot of like people didn't care about them at first. They had that like what the wrestlers call go away heat, where it's not like that we don't like you, but we just don't even want you on the screen anymore. Like just get off the show. But now fans are starting to speculate like who else is in the Dark Order, who's going to be the leader. And all that stuff. So they've recovered with them. And then finally the last announcement they have, which doesn't really make it's just like, why do you hype this up? Jon Moxley makes his Ohio debut with AEW as the number one contender for the world title.
Sure.
So they'll have a little segment with Jericho and that'll be it. But to get into the big bulky content of this show, we're gonna be talking about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view on Sunday. A lot happened and there was a major follow-up on Raw. But yeah, first let's talk about the Rumble.
Matches.
Yeah, first.
Okay.
So this is just gonna be off the top of my head. We had Bray versus Daniel, the Fiend versus Daniel.
You know what?
And hey, one good thing that they did with this match is that they didn't have the red light on the match. So that was awesome because I don't really like watching those matches.
Nope.
It's like you've compared it to Sin Cara
a bunch of times, yeah.
And They actually did a really good match with this.
The straps.
The lashes
I saw on backs.
Yeah.
Like
on
Daniel's.
His back.
Daniel
on his
always
chest.
He gets beat.
Yeah.
Like beat up.
It's insane. And literally I was taking notes for matches here and there. And when I say that, it's like Women's Rumble and then this match. And the only thing I wrote down for this match is like, I don't know how he can take those to the back and chest. It's literally, for anyone that doesn't know, it's literally just like a belt, like a belt that you would wear on your pants. It's just, and that's what they're strapped together by the wrist, and you literally can't get apart. So, you know, they would keep whipping each other back and forth, and it's like, I don't know how they do that.
Dude, I mean, I honestly have a theory that Daniel's skin's just super sensitive. He's super sensitive skin, so, like, you could flick him and he's red. I mean, he's a pale guy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, but these, ooh.
I've also always been confused, or not confused, but, like, just mind-boggled on how people can slap their legs if they have, like, tights on when they're doing a kick.
Yeah.
And, like, how do you not leave handprints, or how does it not still hurt after the match is over? Like, do they just get used to it, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's hand covers it up. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. But, yeah.
Some other
Fiend
matches.
Wins. Fiend win. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
Fiend. Yeah, I didn't say that. The Fiend won the match eventually with, he put the mandible claw on Daniel. Daniel tried to get out of it. The Fiend basically brought him to the center of the ring, kept the mandible claw on. He kind of like choke slammed him with the mandible claw still intact, and just submitted him right there. So yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens in Chamber. That's next, right, Chamber?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up while we're doing the show, because we mentioned that last week, but I just want to make sure, and I'll try to think of the other matches at the same time. We had the Women's Rumble. It was the second match on the show, so we can talk about that, but at the same time, I'll just look up the card in general.
Women's Rumble. I didn't get to watch any clips. I followed on Twitter. I was busy.
I actually had a good amount of notes for it, and we'll bring that up. I don't even know how I scrolled past this. Roman Reigns and King Corbin opened up the show.
You don't know how you scroll. That match sucks.
I mean, the feud sucks. The match was like a walk-in brawl is what people on Reddit were calling it.
Yeah, they were in the crowd and stuff. I saw that.
Yeah, they were in the crowd. They finished it on like this elevated surface. I don't even know what it's even called. Roman Reigns speared win. Yeah. So that's basically how it ended.
Whatever.
Now we can talk about the Women's Rumble. I had a good amount of notes for it, so it was basically the things that stood out to me were the order in which they came out, and then some of the returns. Unfortunately, I saw beforehand that Santino Marella was spotted.
Yeah, like, you ruined it. You ruined it, because you messaged me on Sunday and you were like, "Dude, just saw this on Reddit."
Yeah,
and I'm sitting here like, I told you, I was like, "Dude, I'm gonna be pissed if this happens."
Uh huh.
And yeah, lo and behold, I mean, what number did he come in? Do you remember?
It was 29. Yeah.
Wait, it was 29.
If it wasn't 29, it was 28.
It was in the late 20s. I remember that. God.
He didn't eliminate anyone though. He was in the middle of Beth Phoenix
and
Natalya.
Beth and Natalya, I know.
Yeah, because he has history with Beth, so that was kind of cool.
And Natalya, I think that whole
probably
because it was like I feel like Tyson was involved with that, and I feel like it was
the big thing with Beth though was that they had that like Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal when Santina first became a thing.
Santina won it.
He won it and eliminated Beth to win it. So that was the history that they have, and just to throw out like. Because I want to talk about Beth, too, and that cut that she got.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Bianca Belair came out number 2. That was huge for her because I don't know if she was in the Rumble last time, but she's from she's from NXT, and just that order to begin with is huge.
Yep.
Molly Holly came out number 3. Good to see her. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I guess. Was she in, like, her, like, mid-40s right now?
Probably, yeah. She looked good.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, she doesn't look like Mae Young walking out there, but, I mean, yeah, I know.
She'll probably keep coming back. For years to come.
Yeah.
Mercedes Martinez was a big name that came out at number 6. She was in the Mae Young Women's Classic like a year ago. I think, has there been 2 Women's Classics or no? I can't remember, honestly.
I think just one. Might be 2.
If it was 2, then she was in both of them, but I know that she was in the first one for sure.
Yep.
And there was big talks that she was going to go to AEW because she was also in something on AEW recently, I thought. Like, probably Double or Nothing or something like that, like in one of the battle royals maybe. And yeah, she eventually shows up here at WWE. She announced a couple of days beforehand that she was in the performance center and pretty much was in that class, so it was cool to see her in the Rumble. Candice LeRae came out shortly after her. It was her second time in the Rumble, and we actually referenced these next two people on the show last week, and Chelsea Green came out to the Women's Rumble and debuted.
Was Robert Stone with her?
Yeah, he was with her.
Love it.
Yeah, good old Robbie E from Impact. And she had a huge, or not huge, she had a really fast elimination. She was in and out before you knew it. So that was interesting. Naomi came back
That's a big name.
It was.
It helps the women's division right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Kelly
came back at number 21. Beth Phoenix was at number 19. And she was cut open early. So we can talk about her cut. It was her and Bianca Belair on top of the turnbuckle. And Beth takes a punch and falls right back on these LED like turnbuckle posts.
Yeah.
And cuts her open. She's got that blonde hair, so you compared her to Ric Flair the other day. You could tell for the rest of the match that something had happened early on. And she fought through because they had already planned for her to be at those final four, you know, something like that position. Oh, final three. So it's not like she could just do what some of the men did later on and, like, be eliminated because of this injury.
Yep.
So,
she's a trooper.
Yeah, for sure.
She's always been, like, in terms of, like, women in wrestling, she's always been one of the, in WWE at least, she's been one of, like, the more stronger in terms of, like, will fight, like, guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, she was in the men's rumble.
Yeah, and she took out Kali.
Yeah, took out Kali.
I think Punk eliminated her, though.
Probably.
I feel like he kicked her.
Do you think she eliminated anyone else besides Kali or no?
I don't know.
Zelina came out at 25, Zelina Vega. That was cool seeing her. Yeah. And then, you know, Santina came out at 28 or 29, one of those two. And then Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler came out at number 30. And she probably should have won the Rumble. But the final four were Natalya, Beth, Shayna Baszler, and Charlotte. And then Charlotte eventually won. I don't know who she eliminated. I can't remember. Probably...
I think the final... never mind.
Final three were probably Beth, Baszler, and Charlotte.
Yeah, because Beth took out Natalya.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. That always happens with them.
Which might set up something again. I don't know.
I would 100% be down for that.
She's still a commentator.
She still is a commentator for NXT, right?
Yeah. It's either NXT or 205, but I think it's NXT.
It's definitely NXT. She's commentating it with Mauro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty it was that, and then I think probably Beth got eliminated next, and it was
Charlotte and Shayna.
Yeah, Charlotte, Shayna, and guess what? My pick. Finally, I got something correct on a pay-per-view. Charlotte Flair won the Rumble. I picked it. I gloated in your face through messages the second it happened. I told you so. I told you so. And listen to the other episodes if you want to hear my prediction.
And I don't think she's even picked her like opponent for WrestleMania.
She's a SmackDown wrestler, so I guess she'll talk Friday.
She gets the pick, though. So we have Bayley as the current SmackDown champion, and then Becky as the current Raw Women's Champion. So it's gonna be interesting. You know, she could definitely face Becky, but it would be a match that we've like seen 1,000 times.
Yeah,
and that's my only complaint about it. If it was Shayna, I would love to see Shayna go up against Bayley or Becky, which I think could still happen because I think they might make Charlotte go up against Bayley, which would be an obvious win for Charlotte. And
wait, the Lacey Evans. I don't know. Are we done with Women's Rumble?
I mean, yeah.
We had Lacey Evans Bayley match. That was a pretty good match from what I saw.
Lacey Evans
looked good, but I mean,
yeah.
I guess not at the end. Bayley wins.
Honestly, I can't even remember what the finish was. I think it might have just been a roll up.
It was a roll up with tights.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I would have remembered like her. I remember she tried to go for the belly to belly a couple times.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Belly to belly. Yeah.
Belly to belly.
What up? So there's that.
We got the Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch versus Asuka.
Hey.
What? What'd you say?
Shorty G and Sheamus.
Shorty G and Sheamus. That was on the pre-show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was on the pre-show. Sheamus destroyed. Actually, it was a sort of a back and forth match. Sheamus got sort of stripped up a couple of times. Shorty G like played to a leg injury that Sheamus had, or it was the knee, a left knee injury. And speaking of the pre-show, we can talk about Andrade versus who?
Humberto.
Humberto, yeah. And let's see, I'll actually read it off right here. He exposed the ringside concrete, and that was weeks ago. And this is just a preview. Never mind. Basically, Andrade won with, I think, a hammerlock DDT.
Probably.
Yeah, had to have been, which plays into what happened on Raw two days ago. We'll definitely talk about it at the end of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next up, we have the Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch versus Asuka. And the only thing I remember about that was the finish, which was a pretty cool finish. Asuka has the thing with the green mist, and she's had it for a couple months now. Mm-hmm. And the finish to the match was she had the mist in her mouth, and Becky kicked her in the stomach or something, or she might have super kicked her, and the mist went flying in the air and came back down on Asuka and blinded her instead. So then she got the win based off that with like a roll up or her disarmer move.
Yeah.
So that was basically the entire gist of that match. Becky Lynch retained the title, and that's really it. We really just covered all the matches up until the Men's Rumble. So we can start talking about that one now. I'll pull up my notes for it because this, I had like a love-hate relationship for it.
A lot of people did?
Yeah. So basically Brock Lesnar declared for the Rumble at number one, and a lot of frustrated fans were at home and in the arena when he came out and eliminated like 10 or 11 superstars.
It was a one-on-one match for like majority of the good portion of the beginning.
Yeah. There were dynamics involved where like Rey Mysterio came out and got some good hits on. Actually, Kofi came out and...
Kofi,
and the Rey. The crowd exploded when Kofi came out, by the way.
Yeah,
they were really ecstatic for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the backstory between them two. I mean, Kofi lost his title on the first episode of SmackDown. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... And it's not a spoiler for the rest of this talk, but... I'll just say it for the end. Don't worry about it. Right. But
and then Rey comes out. He had the most recent feud with Brock... at I think it was TLC maybe.
And Big E was out there too.
Yeah, and so. Big E comes out as the third. Kofi and Ray are like on the floor, so Big E's trying to like corral them up, and
he's like, all right, let's go. And they go balls to the wall into the ring, and they go right at Brock. Mm-hmm. Good spots.
It was a really good spot.
They hit him with a big ending.
It was all three finishers, I'm pretty sure. It was Trouble in Paradise followed by the big ending. Followed by a 619. I think that's what it was.
Something like that. And then he got a...
He was in the corner.
He got put in the corner. Big E was... He did like a poetry in motion.
He was on his hands and knees. Yeah.
And Ray?
Ray went first and dived at Brock Lesnar. Like,
and using, Brock threw him over the,
yeah,
over the top.
Yeah, using Big E as like a step stool to jump on top of him. So Brock catches him and like throws him over the top rope. And this is just like, oh, God, we know it's going downhill from here.
And then he runs and jumps off Big E,
yeah,
and clotheslines Kofi,
mm-hmm,
and then he just cleans house.
It was just absolutely insane. And I'm at home like, first of all, I was hoping that they would do something like this where we wait a little bit, wait on the outside to, like, wait for more people to come out. But it just went downhill from there.
That would have been cool, like a lumberjack type thing.
It would have been really cool.
The ring just, and then go for it.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been really cool. All
right, what else happened? Some fun stuff happened. Like, like...
I've got two things.
Also, they squashed people left and right.
They
like
did.
Elias,
the
John
first couple
Morrison,
of people.
Miz.
I felt bad for Elias because he was the first one to come out. He was number two.
He played the guitar the whole entrance.
He played the
and
guitar.
And then Brock
the whole,
ran out,
mm-hmm,
and got him.
He played the guitar the whole entrance, and he insulted Brock and Paul in the song. So Brock gets just completely frustrated with him and runs out. And Elias like drops the guitar and runs around, and they're chasing each other. And I'm just like, I know Brock is like an unsafe guy, honestly, with how strong he is. So I was like, I saw Elias's shirt get ripped in that whole chase, and I was just like, I'm not ready for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
So they did squash a lot of people. I know Rowan came out and he was eliminated pretty quickly.
Big return happened.
Yeah, big return happened. We had MVP.
Montel Vontavious Porter, everybody.
Yeah.
Mr. 305. Isn't that Pitbull? 305.
Yeah, but
they're still from Miami.
MVP still called himself that.
Yeah, he did. So I'm okay. MVP comes out. Obviously, no tunnel, no nothing. Has a really cool singlet.
Yeah, it was a singlet. All right,
really
imagine,
cool singlet.
Imagine if they like set up the tunnel while the other person was in the ring, so it's like not much of a return.
Dude, no, everyone would be hype when they pull it out.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And then like the song hits, but like at the end of the day, no, they wouldn't.
I was at a SmackDown one time, and it was like they did that during commercial, and it was just a big inflatable thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. MVP comes out. He's got wearing like a cool Wakanda, mm-hmm, like Black Panther singlet on. Super cool. His music hits. Everyone's cheering. It's actually a decent pop, but could have been a lot better for sure. Kind of dead crowd for a minute. Brock's dancing to the song.
Brock's dancing to the song.
That's been a meme lately.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. But like, I want to say when you let Brock be himself, it's really, really good content and, like, good wrestling. But, like, that's not that's not Brock's like thing. He's never been like a
meme.
Like a meme or like,
yeah, when he has like the Money in the Bank, he's like
that,
playing like a DJ.
And he used to do fun stuff with Kurt, but like in any interview that you talk to him about, he's just like I don't like people. I have my farm back home, and I don't live near anybody. So I never picture him as this guy that's like wanting to actually perform for the camera. But he's out there dancing to MVP's song and having a good time. So that was a really funny spot.
Oh, there's a spot in the match. I don't know if you have notes on it or whatever.
I might.
Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool.
It was really cool.
Shelton comes out, and of course they're like, oh, Brock finally has a friend in the match. He's going to get him far. And because they have Minnesota Amateur Wrestling at the Minnesota College, Minnesota, whatever, university.
Along with OVW. They both
and
together.
Yeah. So they were a tag team, I think, in OVW.
Probably,
or something. So they have a history. And I think he's also somewhat of a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah.
He came out a couple, whenever
ago.
Yeah,
he's been used as a Paul Heyman guy in the past.
So, I thought that was awesome. He comes out and, of course, Shelton falls for it, and they, like, dap each other up and hug each other, and then Brock throws him out.
Mm-hmm.
They act like
they're getting ready for the next guy to come out, and then Brock just throws him out.
They kill Shelton. I hate it. But
I hate it, too, especially because he doesn't have his music. Like,
yeah, I know.
They let John Morrison come back and keep his music and all these other people.
Yeah.
It's all like, right.
Yeah, I know.
It would get such a big pop if he had his old music.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. You know, I don't even want to talk about like the Keith Lee stuff. What else are you thinking of?
Yeah, Keith Lee and Braun happened. They came out, and it was like somebody on Reddit called it like something of the Titans. Like it was basically all the big guys that we've ever known in WWE recently came out and was struggling to get Brock out of the ring, and they were both ultimately eliminated by Brock. But then the big spot that we're all waiting for was Drew McIntyre and Ricochet were both in the match at the same time, and Ricochet low blow Brock,
kicked him right in the nuts from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Puts him against
Revenge
the ropes
for Raw.
Because he low blowed him. So yeah, mm-hmm. Gets him back with the low blow, and Brock's struggling. He falls to the ropes, and then he gets claymored out of the ring.
Yeah,
he gets claymored out of the ring by Drew, and big pop. I mean, this is big pop like it was like when Braun Strowman, like, last year. I think it was either last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. And Corbin eliminates him with a clothesline.
Oh, yeah.
Back when Corbin had hair and stuff, it was, like, a big deal. Because it's like, here's this big-name guy, the number one. Yeah.
And
so
I was excited, too. I mean, it's worthy of such a big pop because we said, like, 10 or 11 people were eliminated by Brock. But in real lifetime, that's, like, 15 or 20 minutes, you know? So it was a long, long time that we were just watching Brock have his way with people.
Yeah.
So it was
Drew,
amazing.
Yeah. And for all the people to do it, Drew to be that person.
Yeah.
Stared him down the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I think he threw out Ricochet. And then it was like, now it's my turn to take care of everyone. He stared down Brock the whole time as Brock was like struggling on the on the sideline.
Hey, I'll give Brock that. He did a good job at selling that claymore kick and elimination. You know, somebody that was actually at the event said that it took him like 2 minutes or more to like actually get up. He was just laying there for a long time, and then he struggled to get up, and he was mouthing off to Drew as he left. So, you know, should we go ahead and say that Drew? It's kind of obvious, right? Drew picked Brock to be his opponent for WrestleMania.
Wow. Well, Drew McIntyre won the Royal Rumble. We didn't say that
that's
yet.
True.
I know, and it's not like people listening to this are like, "Oh, I didn't watch the Rumble. Keep up with it." Yeah, my pick yet again. Ding, ding, ding. My pick, Drew McIntyre, won it again, or won it for the first time. And that was a big moment. Mm-hmm. Not the biggest moment within the Rumble, but. Which is weird. Usually the winner is usually a big moment. And we'll get to that. But, on Raw, we could talk about Raw briefly at the end. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he did pick Brock. I mean, that end of that spot with Brock and Drew solidified the Rumble, the WrestleMania match. So
speaking of this big, you know, the bigger moment than Drew winning the Rumble, we have someone who's been gone for 9 years. We've already talked about him in the podcast.
In his episode, yeah. Played his entrance song in the beginning.
Yeah, did all that. So I don't remember what number he was, and I wish I would have wrote it down. I really don't know what number he was. I'm going to say like 25.
Well, I know Rollins was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro was... I feel like he was late, too.
Yeah. I don't know. He might have been a little earlier because Cesaro came out when Brock was still
26?
There. I'm down for 26. Cesaro was still out there when Brock was there, so yeah.
All right, I'm going to say 26. I don't know.
Either way, Edge, the rated R superstar, comes back to WWE for what seemed like I really didn't know what it was. It was just a Rumble appearance at first, but we learned later on in the night that he had signed a 3-year deal. He comes out, and the pop was just insane. The beginning of his theme song that you heard at the beginning of this podcast, it's like one of those things. It's like Stone Cold's glass shattering. Yeah. It's like Stone Cold's glass shattering or CM Punk's static at the beginning of his song.
This is a person that's obviously, he's been vocal with WWE in the past. I mean, it's not like he's been under, like he's been like hidden for years. I mean, he's got a podcast with Christian. They promote it on the network. Mm-hmm. He's been making appearances left and right at Raws and SmackDowns. He's had Cutting Edge episodes. I mean, short hair, long hair. He's been in movies. They promote those too. I mean, he's been with the company.
9 years is a long, long time.
But in the ring, 9 years is a long time. Yes.
Yeah.
He comes out. Yeah, he's looking. We keep mentioning it. He's looking like vet. He looked like a vet. He's all like grizzled, and he's got gray in his beard. He hasn't shaved his chest, so he just looks like kind of homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Great shape though. Definitely still built.
Without the hair, he's put on some muscle. You know, he's not as big as he used to be, but he's got some abs. And Randy Orton pointed it out as soon as they met in the ring. You know, Randy was giving him some props for that. And as soon as he comes to the ring, so many fans were not pleased to see that whoever was running production in the truck cut away when he gave his first spear to Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And then he went on a tirade of other spears
after that. Yeah, he speared Ziggler, he speared Styles, he speared
Carl Anderson, everybody.
So, I mean, that was, it was awesome. And I don't know, we'll just cut to it. I mean, it was who's Final Four? Was Randy in Final Four?
Final Four was Edge, Randy, Drew, and
Roman.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so yeah, and then Randy and Edge, Raid RKO, back together at the Rumble, and they're doing spots together.
They did a double RKO to Drew.
Double RKO. They did a lot of other stuff together. Like, it was awesome. Awesome to see that. They looked at each other. The crowd was hype. Of course they are. Big pop for that. I don't know. It was a really emotional time as a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Just Edge. I mean, his retirement is a big thing on everyone. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It was a sad moment for that. So to see him, his entrance when he ran out and he's looking at the crowd, you could tell he's holding back tears.
Yeah, he definitely was. And I wanted to emphasize the reason that it's so special for all of us as wrestling fans is it was because he had really, really bad neck problems to the point where sometimes he couldn't even feel his arms, like his left arm. The pain would shoot down his arm and he couldn't even feel it, like his own arm. And he eventually got surgery for it. I don't know what the term was that Michael Cole used, but it was really, really intense surgery to the point where, you know, 9 years ago he said that he could never wrestle again.
Yep.
So we were given the little teaser when he speared Elias a couple months ago at, I want to say, Survivor Series or something. It was on a
pre-show.
It was on a pre-show. And so that gave us a glimmer of hope. But honestly, for me as a fan, every time that he would go on Twitter and say that, like, oh, I haven't signed a contract yet, nothing's final, like, he was just, like, disagreeing with every single person that said that he's been cleared. Because up until the Rumble, there were plenty of people sharing that he's been cleared for action. And he was trying his best to turn that down. But, yeah, it's such a special moment for us as wrestling fans because he... Like, we're both 21, right? You're 21?
Yep.
Like,
I'm 20. Wow.
Are you really?
Yeah, I don't know why I agreed. I don't turn 21 until September.
But like, regardless, as a kid, the biggest feud for me as a kid was Edge versus John Cena.
Yeah.
For me, at least. It was one of the bigger ones, if not the biggest.
Him and Taker. Him and Cena. Edge and Taker
was big.
Those are big ones.
Yeah. You know, obviously.
Vicky Guerrero era. Like,
Vicky Guerrero era was huge.
Edge heads. The list goes on.
Edge and Lita. Edge. He had a lot of big moments.
Hardy. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he was a part of the first ever TLC match in WWE.
Yeah, Edge and Christian. Like, yeah, there's enough stuff that we could list.
Yeah, so basically, there's so many generations of wrestling fans that have him as like his top, as their top three.
One of the best heels ever.
Oh, easily. Yeah, easily one of the best heels ever. Like, there's only a couple of other people that can really dispute that and be better than him.
Now, he won the Rumble when he returned
with the long beard.
That was cool.
He has won it once before.
But yeah.
And he's been Money in the Bank winner twice, I believe.
Yep.
Only twice because he beat Mr. Kennedy for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna count it. But yeah, I mean, he's champion. He's done a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's ever won like a U.S. title. I probably did in the beginning.
Probably early 2000s.
Anyways, yeah, Edge, his return was awesome. Him, Randy's reunion. I think the final two was Roman. No, it was it Rollins or Roman?
It was Roman and Drew because okay, so Roman. The way that it played out was Randy was going to go for an RKO on Edge, and it was sort of like an awkward moment because Randy was going to go for it, but then he was just like, you caught me. And then as they were like walking off their separate ways to go to Roman and Drew, Edge throws him over and as like a sort of payback moment.
And then Edge and Roman have a big standoff and they're facing each other and they're looking at each other. It's like, oh, battle of the spears. And
yeah.
Roman's like, it's my yard, blah, blah, blah. And, he never spears him or anything. I just remember seeing them both on like the outside of the rope.
That's where it ended.
Yeah, on the outside of the rope. He gets Edge off. He knocks him off.
Mm-hmm. They're trading punches back and forth. And then Edge is hanging on with one arm. And, he
chops him off, I think.
Yeah, he kicks the first arm. So then Edge grabs with the second one. And then Roman uppercuts the second arm. Big. And Edge it gets eliminated eventually.
Yep.
But, like, I enjoyed the way that they did this. Because if Edge eliminated Roman, that would not only get a huge pop, but then for Drew to win the Rumble and eliminate Edge, it wouldn't be as exciting because the fans would like, it's like, oh, you eliminated Edge.
Yeah, he wouldn't get as big of a pop.
Yeah.
So Roman eliminates
Edge, and then it comes down to Roman and Drew, and ultimately it comes down to a Claymore kick that eliminates Roman.
Yep. Super cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Drew wins. Big journey for Drew to come back to WWE after Chosen One, after all that stuff. He goes to TNA. He goes probably Evolve. He goes to like a bunch of companies.
So many companies.
Overseas.
He was
in
Impact.
Too. Impact. Drew Galloway. TNA, that's what I said. Yeah, Drew Galloway. He got super ripped.
Yeah.
I knew that he was going to be a big champion because he was big champ there in other places too. So yeah. I knew when he returned to WWE that it was gonna get real. I don't know. Did he win TNA or did he win NXT?
I think so.
Yeah, he did. So he did, and then that's how Adam Cole came back came into it. He like super kicked him after he beat.
Yeah,
he beat like
true.
Rude or
that's
something.
It was a really quick call up though. Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of good stuff since returning, but I mean, yeah, this is awesome. So yeah, that was the Rumble. Good Rumble.
And like we said, he challenged Brock. On Raw.
So we'll get to Raw, quickly. End a little early here. It's cool with Dalton. We're almost near five.
We'll hit the big points of Raw.
Yeah. Big points. I'll start with the moments. Andrade versus Humberto for a rematch. Andrade wins via disqualification. Humberto had a moonsault or whatever his move is.
Yeah.
And then Zelina came in and broke up the count.
Yeah.
Humberto wins by disqualification. Andrade keeps the title. Humberto's up. He's mad. He's angry. He does the same DDT. He does the hammerlock
he
DDT.
He does the exact same hammerlock
onto
DDT.
Concrete or onto the whatever exposed floor.
It was concrete, yeah.
Yeah, onto the exposed floor on Andrade. And payback, we later realized that... reported yesterday.
The news broke.
Andrade's 30-day suspension for wellness.
His first policy. Violation of the wellness policy. So we don't know what that entails, but...
Still kept him as champ.
So. Yeah, still kept him as champ. Weird. I mean, that was definitely a Paul Heyman decision because Paul Heyman's the, like, creative head of Raw nowadays. That was announced a long time ago. It was announced back in, like, August or September that he was the creative head.
Yep.
So it's good that... I think Raw is starting to get more watchable, and especially with
the program itself, like WWE has been watchable.
Yeah, it's crazy, and we definitely talked about it back then, but it just didn't really come into fruition until this month. So, the only other thing that happened besides those two things, MVP came back on Raw.
Yeah,
he had a longer entrance, and Ray eventually defeated him. So, you think we'll ever see him back?
Yep.
All right,
he'll be back. Cool. He'll be him and. Him and R-Truth will have a little thing. They'll have a...
And then Charlotte went up against Asuka, and we had some interference from Kairi Sane, but regardless, Charlotte defeated Asuka in the long run.
Did you see the Mojo stuff?
Yeah,
is Riddick Moss now is his back?
I don't even know who that is.
He was an NXT guy.
Oh, okay.
I forgot who he was with, but he was a somewhat big name in NXT. Mm. So I don't know, just a new guy to call.
I was watching it. It was in that last hour.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Beat No Way Jose. Mm-hmm. And then R-Truth won title and then
lost it.
So yeah, that happens. Just figured I'd say that.
They need to retire the title, right? 24/7 title.
Just keep it calling.
Yeah, because it gives R-Truth some stuff to do.
I guess. I mean, but it's cool that it gives like guys like Mojo. I mean, I don't think Mojo deserves anything. He won the Andre the Giant a couple years ago and didn't mean nothing.
Yeah, he didn't do anything afterwards.
I mean, yeah. All right, so whatever, that stuff happened. Biggest thing that happened, mm-hmm. Edge comes out.
Yep.
Edge comes out.
Close the show.
Oh, another big thing that happened when Drew chooses Brock. Yep. Brock comes out. F5's Drew.
I forgot that Brock actually came out.
Yeah. So F5's Drew. Whatever. They'll go back and forth until Mania. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. But yes, Edge comes out. Another big homecoming. Yeah. Not on Raw often. So it's cool that he's back. He talks about how he's back. It's a sad moment. He talks about everything that's happened since. And Randy comes out.
He does acknowledge, by the way, that, you know, he does look a little different. You know, he is older. He's got those what's it called? On his eyes. Crow's feet.
Yeah.
Crow's feet on his eyes and stuff like that. So he's definitely aware. So he told the fans that he doesn't know how long this is going to be going or how long he can keep it up, but hopefully we can stay along for the ride. And I'm ready to see what kind of feuds he can get into, which is what
starts
you're
the first
into.
One, which I told you right after Rumble that Randy's the next guy for mm-hmm. him. It's just the way that Rumble kind of went is going to happen. Randy comes out. He's like, hey, happy to see you. All that kind of stuff. Welcome back. How about a Rated RKO reunion?
Mm-hmm.
Crowd's losing it. They're
crowd's loving it. Edge is like thinking about it.
Maybe.
He's thinking about it.
And then Randy hits him with an RKO.
Before you could even process what was going on, RKO to Edge.
Yeah. Not just an RKO.
There's plenty more.
He goes RKO, goes and gets a chair,
mm-hmm.
Hits him in the back with a chair, puts his head in a chair.
Yeah, he puts his head in the chair to the point where he
can't move.
He can't move.
He goes on top, and he goes on top rope, kind of like Mark Henry used to do with the Hall of Pain on the legs. Mm-hmm. But he does it with the head. And yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to dive off the top rope and stomp on his head.
He sits there for a long time.
The whole time he's doing this attack, he's contemplating it.
Yeah.
He's like battling the voices in his head kind of thing. Like, I get it. It's really good. It's good acting by both of them.
It was great.
Doesn't do that, but he does after he pulls, steps off the top rope, pulls mm-hmm. the chair off of him, puts it under him, goes to get another chair.
Yeah.
Brings back shades of their old thing they used to do called the Concerto. Which mm-hmm. is just a chair shot to the head with another chair under. Like a head sandwich with chairs.
Pretty much, yeah. Edge used to do it with Christian when they were a tag team back in the day while the person was standing up.
It was very stiff.
Yeah.
Edge twitching the whole time. It's mm-hmm. bad. It looks really bad, but it looks really believable. It's crazy that Randy did that. Like, crowd, you mentioned it. It's got a really genuine crowd reaction to it.
Yeah,
the crowd was upset.
With the context of Edge's return, it was a genuine crowd reaction for Randy to be destroying him like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It was a really, really good segment to end Raw. Granted, it kind of writes Edge off for a little bit, which I'm not a fan of.
Here's the thing. We were all bored with the whole Rollins thing.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm bored with this Rollins AOP stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, this is cool.
Oh, it's really cool.
And it brings me back to when I used to love wrestling a lot more.
Speaking of Rollins, do you remember the segment from a couple of years ago when Edge had short hair and the Authority was the
big
thing?
Yeah, I know. He was going to, and John Cena was involved.
Yeah.
And he was going to curb stomp him on the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, we've still got a storyline there because Seth was in the Rumble when Edge was, and he grabbed him by the head and was like, he had him finally. So it's sort of like a redemption thing.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that feud in the future.
It's going to happen. He mentioned he teased at it. But this Randy stuff, you got to do the Randy stuff first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Concerto is pretty cool. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Edge is going to be out till Mania. He won't fight in Chamber. If he does, I don't know. It'll be his first one-on-one match once Mania hits, though. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I'd like to see him back on Raw having matches and stuff.
I would, too.
At the end of the day, I mean, Randy's doing his thing. Honestly, what's probably going to happen is Edge is not going to be cleared until Mania. Roy Randy's like, whatever, I'm going to the chamber match.
At the bare minimum, we have to have like a like a via satellite interview with Edge with like a neck brace on or something. Yeah. At the bare minimum.
But yeah, so that's how Raw ended. Really good ending. And
I was telling you yesterday or the day before that, actually it was just yesterday, just for this Edge and Randy match, that's enough for me to watch WrestleMania. Yep. That alone is enough for me to be tuned in for the entire time.
Yep.
So it's going to be a solid WrestleMania match. I can't wait. Having those two back together in a match, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's wrestling right now. I kind of wanted to get out of here quicker. We did. I mean, we fit it in way shorter than I expected. Last week was an hour and 20 minutes of just of wrestling talks. We missed a whole month's worth, but like at the end of the day, I mean, this is a lot of stuff we crammed into 56 minutes. Sure. So I don't know. Is there any other remarks you have?
Not a lot, honestly, because the main topic of this podcast was Edge's return. We had the themes open the show and stuff like that. I really would like to see him in some singles matches before Mania, but I don't think we're going to get
it. On it.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to get it. I think the most that we can do is like an interview via satellite or maybe even the Cutting Edge or something like that. But I think that's it.
I want to see MVP on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's just personal.
That'd be really cool.
Hey, him and Hardy have a team again. Him and Hardy, because Hardy's on his way out. He's made very vocal. He's ready to leave. Mm-hmm. Go to somewhere that appreciates him more. Why not finish him off with Matt? Why not him and Matt need to have a match?
Yeah, they do.
And if they're maybe trying to push MVP a little more, maybe I don't know if that's the case, they'll squash Matt with him. But that'll be a good match.
Matt's gonna be gone by March, though. We're like 2-3 days from February.
Yeah,
we gotta do that soon. Just throw MVP to SmackDown or. Matt's on Raw,
so yeah, honestly, it's
Raw.
Fine.
Just keep him on Raw. Let them have a little bit of a program, a little bit of a story until Matt's contract runs out.
Give MVP a mic. He's always been a good heel. He's always been a good talker, trash talker. Let's see. Edge is back. Edge and Randy are having matches. MVP and Matt are maybe going to have a match, hopefully, in the
Ray's
future.
Ray's here. CM Punk's on WWE. Well,
he's never going to.
He's on WWE on Fox.
Yeah.
It'll happen one day.
I know. But at the end of the day, still, this WWE is finally, they're doing it. I don't know if it's because of Heyman, because of Bischoff, whoever it is.
Bischoff's gone. He's not even a writer anymore.
I figured. Yeah, he's not doing much. So pretty cool.
I think it has to be to a point with Heyman, you know?
Yep.
They're trying to give us some stuff to care about with that 24/7 title. But with the whole MVP and Matt thing, I would much rather that take up the time of any 24/7 segment we have on the show.
Yeah.
So
that's I don't know. So that was DDT episode 2. Mm-hmm. Like I said, anything else?
Episode 2 of season 2. That's pretty much it. Make sure if you do listen to the podcast, make sure you either listen to this episode or listen to any past episodes to follow our social medias and connect with us that way. We mention them nearly every single episode.
Yeah.
Twitter is the best way to reach me, DaltonFloyd67. And you want
to Twitter for me too. Hallboys123, HALLBOYS123.
Yep.
Definitely give us some reactions. Give us some. If you disagree with any of our inputs or any of our opinions, let us know. I mean, I'd love to hear it. If you have any suggestions or criticisms for the show itself, let me know. If you want more Edge theme songs, I don't really care. I will. We can work it in there.
Yeah, we'll. Hey, next week, Rated RKO. that's
you
one
might
to think
you
about.
Guys you guys might have heard the intro next week.
I was gonna do that for my radio show like 2 hours ago, but I just never did it. So yeah, that's DDT for you. Discussions with Dalton and Tyler.
Yep, so DDT, catch you all next week. Everyone have a great one.